revival has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedom that you and I have known, or will sin in our country take its toll? It's not because God left us.
Surrounding and city states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and especially at the end of the broadcast, answer our question of the day. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this program started off with the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many countries that are listening in. We know that, Lord Jesus, with that many countries, in your word, it says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And, Lord Jesus, we ask you to be in our midst tonight and take control of this here program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way, Lord Jesus, especially for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who was with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Challenger. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth. @gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth, @gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just, I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. The National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse.
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's PayPal.com. In the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Jim, and me.
Ooh, all right. So Emily's with us tonight. All right, how you doing tonight, Emily?
Feeling with my fingers.
Ah, well, that's cool.
I got to be a little ornery tonight.
Well, good. Now that you're feeling with your fingers, you'll be ready to learn work and learn on your braille, won't you?
Nope.
See how that goes. When it's time to do your studying, you don't do that now, huh?
Just kidding there, Kenny.
See how that goes. All right.
I had to pick on you after last. Hey, I had to pick on you after last night.
Yeah, but see, now you told on yourself. That's what you just did. You told on yourself, telling everybody that you're a Braille student, don't want to study your Braille. Well, Ruth ain't much better. She don't want to pull out the slate and stylus. She wants to cheat and use a Braille writer.
I don't even know how to use a slate and stylus, buddy.
Well, it's a little more punching than the other way. The other way you do it more like a keyboard on a hand.
All right. Well, real quick, in a minute here, we'll get your prayer request in, but I just want to give a quick outline of the show for tonight. We are continuing our study of David. And tonight, we actually catch David slipping up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We catch David slipping up because he kind of does a little sneak trick and kind of tells what some people might call a little white lie. He does it.
Uh-oh.
He does it to somebody that is not an Israelite, but
this other king where he's moved into this Philistine's land, and he's told him a lie. I'm not going to say what it was. You'll have to listen tonight to see what it was. But he told him a lie to make off like he was being for the Philistines rather than for the Jewish people, for the Israelites. So that was the lie. That was the lie, but you'll see exactly the what that lie was exactly when we get into the study tonight. But in the middle of that study, we, of course, see Pastor Bonnet doing, of course, his seeing if he could do the song and poem, whether he gets the right buzzer or wrong buzzer. If he gets the wrong buzzer, they may be use of sound effects that may affect those with PTSD or that kind of thing. Just beware of that. Then, of course, at the end of that study with David tonight, Ruth, where are you taking us tonight?
Okay, the threefold purpose of Christ's second coming.
Ooh, that sounds really good. So we'll find out what that threefold purpose is tonight. And then after that, we take and we open up the mics at the end there to have everybody answer our question of the day, neither right nor wrong answer, just your own opinion. Then, of course, close in prayer, and then we have our little announcement about staying warm and safe, and then we close out the whole show, of course, with our Red Sylvine song. And tonight's Red Sylvine song, it won't be Red Sylvine, it's a closing song that went with the song from last week, which was Giddy Up Go by Red Sylvine, but this is the closing song that gives an answer to what happened to the young boy that named the truck Giddy Up Go. We'll find out what happened to that. So, all right, Em, now what kind of prayer requests you got for us tonight?
Well, for myself, because I've been dealing with my asthma acting up all day, I ain't been feeling so good. And for naturally for all our first responders, our medical personnel, whether it's hospital or nursing homes, the patients, that they would act right and not act like goofballs. Because
right.
I happened to be a witness to something while I was on video chat with somebody today that's in a facility. They had like 12 patients. They're acting like real goofballs.
All right. So
also for my mom, that eventually they'll release her and let her go back home, which she's having a fit about, but.
Right. All right. So, and Ruth, do you
also
got any?
Hey, Kenny, also that Dad and I could find a more suitable place.
Right. Okay, and Ruthie.
Pray for me a little bit tonight. I'm a little sore. I used to walk in long distance, and I did the other day. So just, you know, because of the pain. So I'll get over it.
Okay. Well, if you're sore, how high?
I don't know, maybe 90 feet.
Better, at that low altitude, you might run into a building. You better soar a little higher than that.
Yeah, what can we talk about the rapture? You know, the Lord may take us out.
She goes soaring too low, Kenny. She might crash and burn too.
Right. Well, at 90 feet, that ain't very high off the ground. Most skyscrapers are that high off the ground. She run into she'd be thought of as a terrorist.
Exactly.
So but anyway, all right,
okay.
So is there...
Also, be keeping the young lady downstairs in prayer. She had her eye surgery, and she had to go for her post-operative visit today, too.
Okay. So, is everybody ready for the show tonight?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, get out your... note taker, your pad, your pencil, ink pen, in the case of Ruthie, slate and stylus, braille writer, whatever you use, quick note.
I get lucky, I get to use a braille writer.
Okay, and in whatever case you go with, you could take your notes. If you miss something, remember you can always go on your smartphone or tablet, you could always type in Six Eyes Radio, where your podcast section is located. Just go in there and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O, and you hit the enter on that, and then when it pops up there, click on the upper right-hand corner to subscribe, and you'll have not only this program, but all the programs on demand, 7 days a week. Every time that a show comes up, it'll pop up there for you, and you'll have it. But if that doesn't seem to be a suitable option for you, there's another option for you. You could go on blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/SIXEYES, and you put that in your browser, and then you click on that, and you'll have any and all of the programs right there. In fact, all the programs from way back when they started the Six Eyes Radio Network, every one of them in the archives are right there. You can enjoy any and all of them. Amen. So that's what you do. So here we go. Let's get started tonight with a great program. And here we go, folks.
For those of you, call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? Amen. But right now, we're going to get into our study on David, and this is part 12, and our first scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 1 through 12. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, and Ahiam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled in Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore, Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Girgashites and the Jezreites and the Malachites, for those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jeremelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever.
All right. So today we find David has found his way away from Saul. And so let's study this out. And we'll get to the real meat tonight with our first scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 and 2. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath.
And here we find David saying, look, Saul's seeking after me. I'll end up dead. So I know what I'm going to do. I'll go out of the land of Israel. I'll go to the Philistines' land. And if I do that, Saul will quit looking for me and thus save my own life, is what he's basically saying. And so that's what he did. He went to the land of Gath, which is Philistine land, and that's where he was. Amen. Now our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 27, verses 3 and 4. 1 Samuel 27, verses 3 and 4. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him.
And so, what did we find? Yes, David did go there. And when Saul heard of it, just as David predicted, Saul quit looking. Saul quit searching for him. Amen. All right. Our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 27, verses 5 to 7. 1 Samuel 27, verses 5 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore, Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months.
And so we find now David, he's lived there, and he's living there for a year and 4 months. He asked for a specific area to live, and this king gives him Ziklag, where he could live, and it became a possession amongst the children of Israel. Amen. All right, now, just before we do our recap of this half of the show, let us remind you where Pastor Bonnet has been. He is officially 6 for 7, and he has 5 good buzzers in a row. Will he make it 7 for 8 and 6 good buzzers in a row? Or will he be 6 for 8 and 1 bad buzzer in a row? We'll find out tonight in a very short order, right after this recap, which is found in 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Naoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his 2 wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in that country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months.
And so we find basically David being slick, getting away from Saul, going to the Philistines land, and he's given a possession there in Ziklag, and he lives there for a year and 4 months away from the eyes of Saul, who ends up giving up because he can no longer go after David. Amen. All right, but now we're going to turn the mic over to Pastor Bonnet and see if he could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
God above, bless this man I guide and help me keep him alive. Be my mortal sight this day on streets where little children play. Bless my master fast asleep when the night is long and deep, and keep my handler safe and sound through the hours big and round. Make my judgment sound as steel and be his hand upon the wheel. Bless the traveler going past and teach him not to go so fast. Give me strength for every trip, so I may care for what I ship, and make me mindful every mile that our lives are but a little while. Amen.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Well, the common message between the two would be the single word, guide. For us, in the beginning, it's depending on God to guide. The dog was asking God to help him guide. So we're depending on God to lead or to guide us in all things. I think that's the common message between the guide dog, who's asking for proper guidance as he do his job, and for the song that's asking God that if he don't guide, there's no help, there's no guide. So so proper guidance from God. So we're dependent on God to guide us. Amen.
Well, oh, man, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That was a good answer. Unfortunately, not the one we were looking for. Stretching our hands forth to him, we pray. And the dog was praying for guidance. So even though the guidance part was good, it wasn't down the right alley that I was looking for. We got you.
All right. That should be 50-50. That's a split. I should be depending on God to guide us. God, we need him to guide us. But you said prayer. Prayer's petition. So, okay. I didn't use the one single word prayer, but I had the whole other message right. That's a 75%. I still should have a passing grade. It's all good. We're not going to blow the buzzer up.
Ah, I see how that goes. You're one of those, you believe in turning the other cheek, so you're just going to pray for it tonight.
Okay. There you go. Okay, yeah, we're not going to blow the buzzer up. We're going to turn the cheek. He wrong, but, you know, he got to do his job, too, so we'll let him have his fun.
Amen. All right, so what we'll do is pause to hear about the great programming here found at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God blessed us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're flying trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? But right now, we're going to get back into our study of David. This is part 12, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 8 and 9, 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 8 and 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish.
All right. Now we find David making war against these lands, and they're not lands that are against the Philistines. These are people against the Israelites. But David leaves nobody alive to tell what he had done. Why? Because these other nations were in cahoots with the Philistines. And had they told, David would have been in trouble. He wanted to look good in the eyes of this king of the Philistines, so he didn't leave anybody alive. And we'll go on to prove that here with our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel 27, verses 10 to 12, 1 Samuel 27, verses 10 through 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Achish said, "Whither have ye made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Zeramites, and against the south of the Kenites." And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever."
And this king asked David, "Where you been? What you been up to?" And David kind of lets off like he was making war against the children of Israel and other people that Israel is in cahoots with. And so this king of Gath buys it, thinking, "Oh, good, he's in cahoots with us, and so he'll be my servant forever." Not realizing that David left nobody alive to tell the king of Gath the real truth. That David really, had he left someone alive, they would have seen that David was actually against them and would have caused them problems. And they would have said, "Oh, this is the way David's really going to be." But they didn't do that. So David was smart in what he did. Amen. But now we're going to recap this half of the show with our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel 27, verses 8 to 12. 1 Samuel 27, verses 8 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David and his men went up and invaded the Gershurites and the Gezrites and the Malachites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Whither have ye made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever."
And so we find in this half of the show that David was making war against those that the Philistines were in cahoots with, and yet David left no one alive to tell on him of what he was really doing, but he made off like he was killing and making war against those that were in cahoots with the Jewish people, the Israelites, and thus he made it look like he was making war against them to make the Jewish people, the Israelites, to abhor him. And thus this king thought,
I've got him forever as my servant. Amen. Now we're going to recap the whole show by going into 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 through 12. 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah, unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Gershurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest sure even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever.
And so tonight, the two main takeaway messages were, one, David going into the Philistines' land to escape Saul, and Saul quit seeking after him. And secondly, David making war against what was those that were in cahoots with the Philistines, but him killing everybody so they couldn't tell on him, and making the Philistines thinking that he was making war against those of Israel so they would abhor him, so he made it off to look like that's what he was doing, and thus this king of Gath thinking, oh, I got him as my servant forever. Pretty sneaky. But that's what he did. Amen. But once again, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear some messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this,
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Issue hall open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of star goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. As quick
wicked lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world would be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Okay, this lesson is a threefold purpose of Christ's second coming. Future event, which will have calamitous worldwide effects upon mankind, will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to break the second coming of Christ down into three distinct parts. First of all, let's establish the overwhelming fact from Scripture that Jesus Christ will actually come the second time. Here's a verse of Scripture from the book of Acts. The men of Galilee, the apostles, will stand. Wait, David, up into heaven. The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's Acts 1:11 in the King James Version. In other words, this verse of Scripture describes what actually took place outside the city of Jerusalem as the Lord Jesus Christ, 40 days after his resurrection, went back to heaven. The apostles and disciples were out there receiving his apostolic commission as he told them, but ye saw, or shall, see power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. After they had received the personal instructions from Christ to tarry until they were endued with power from on high, he was taken up from them. And as the startled and somewhat confused apostles and disciples observed him, leaving the earth, two men, presumably two angels, must have tapped on the astounded onlookers on the shoulder and say, among other things, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. We learn from this verse of Scripture from the lips of two angels that the same Jesus who went away from this sinful earth will come someday, come back to the earth, and let's turn to a portion of Scripture which gives us the recorded words from the lips of the Son of God, relative to his second coming. There's a scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I, Christ, go to prepare a place for you. Please note, he said place.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, John 14, 2 and 3 in the King James Version. We have here scripture telling us that Jesus Christ is planning on coming back to this earth again. Over in the Old Testament is a very unusual verse of scripture which substantiates the second coming of Christ also. Here's the scripture. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, Zechariah 14:4. We've just read four verses of scripture which tell us Jesus Christ will actually come back to the earth. There are approximately 216 of the 260 chapters in the New Testament which declare the second coming of Christ. For every one verse of scripture in both the Old and the New Testaments that declares his first coming, there are 18 verses that declare his second coming. In the light of this one contrast, if there's one verse for the first coming and there are 18 verses for the second coming, either directly or indirectly, then it would appear second coming of Christ is 18 times more important. Therefore, I declare unto you the established, inescapable fact of Jesus Christ's second coming has already been acknowledged in both the Old and New Testaments. And here's a startling thing I want to add. The hour, the day of Christ's second coming, is an established and sealed fact in heaven. Therefore, there's no use getting upset, wringing your hands, and wondering when Christ will come back. The hour of the second event is already established and known only in the mind of God the Father. Now, scripture. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay, that's Matthew 24:16. So we have established from scripture that Jesus Christ will come back. He left the earth from the vicinity of Jerusalem. And in Zechariah 14, we're told that he's coming back to the earth in the vicinity of Jerusalem. His feet last touched the Mount of Olives, and Zechariah tells us that his feet will again stand upon the Mount of Olives the second time. First purpose of Christ's second coming is the church of the, makes up the first group of people who were especially benefit from the second coming. When I say the church, I'm not referring to the earthly man-made organization. I'm referring to the ecclesia, the called out body of believers who have been wedded to Christ through the miracle of the new birth. This is described in the following manner. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Very, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the new birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." John 3:5-7. So we know that everyone who is born of the Spirit of God has experienced the marvelous rejuvenating influence of the new birth. Therefore, the first purpose of the Lord's second coming will be to translate the church, the body of believers, regardless of whether they have died in Christ or are still living. Scripture, "Behold, I shew you a mystery." Paul is going to reveal a truth which is, up to this time has not been made known. "We, the church, brethren, shall not all sleep, die physically, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be putting on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality." 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. So, the first purpose of Jesus Christ's second coming will be to translate the church. That is, those who have died in Christ will be awakened from their physical sleep. Their souls and spirits will come from paradise, again going into their bodies, with their bodies standing again upon the earth. And then those of us who are still living at that time will be changed with them, and we'll all be caught up in the air to meet Jesus Christ far above the starry sky. And you know it. I'm going to just have a wonderful time praising the Lord there. Scripture, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent." The word "prevent" should be translated "precede" or "go before" them which are asleep, died in Christ. "For the Lord Jesus Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain, are still living, shall be caught up together with them who have previously died in Christ in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. Those three verses of scripture written by the Apostle Paul, while under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declare unto us that at the appointed hour, already determined in the mind of God,
Jesus Christ will come down from heaven and give a great shout, which in all reality will be a summons, such as that which a traffic officer would give a speeding motorist to appear in court. Christ will give the loud shout or summons, and those Christians, members of the body of Christ who have lain down, as it were, or fallen asleep in the arms of Jesus will be awakened. Their bodies will be raised up out of the ground or wherever they may have fallen, and we who are living at that time will be changed with them, and both we and they shall be caught up in the clouds to glory to meet Jesus Christ above this earth to go with him forever. I'm excited, and you know that. Oh, wow. Yes, praise God. This is very aptly described in the little book near the end of the New Testament in this manner. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:11-13. So the first purpose of the threefold purpose of Jesus Christ's second coming will be to translate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, remove us from the sinful earth to a better place. It's true that we do not understand all the aspects and the spiritual technicalities involved in this great phenomenon, which is yet to take place, yet by the word of God we believe it, and we're anticipating it because the scripture calls it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, main thing, my dear listener, is that you're looking for Christ's second coming. Now, here's the scripture. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. So I trust you're looking for the second coming of Christ as we examine the subject. May I emphatically declare unto you that Christ will come the second time to translate the church from this earth, and this will be the first purpose of the threefold purpose of Jesus Christ's second coming. You get ready for that translation by being born again. As we discussed a few moments ago, if you aren't born again, then you will not be translated when Christ comes. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the conclusion of the commonly known seven-year tribulation period, is to accomplish the yet unfulfilled prophecies relative to Israel's national regathering, conversion, and establishment in the land of Canaan in a state of peace and power under the Davidic covenant. Scripture, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, Luke 1:31-32 in the King James Version. Contained in these two verses of Scripture are four of the well-known seven shalls of prophetic Scripture. In other words, we're told here of four things that must be accomplished relative to Jesus Christ. May I say that all four of them actually came to pass. Allow me to mention them one more time. Number one, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Number two, shall call his name Jesus. Three, he shall be great. Four, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. All four of these shalls actually were fulfilled in Jesus Christ's first coming. Let's look at the three remaining shalls, which must be fulfilled relative to the nation of Israel at Christ's second coming. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall not be no end. Oh, cruel. Luke 1:32-33. Therefore, we know that Jesus Christ will come back to the nation of Israel and deal with them in a very specific manner. Because in Luke 1:32-33, in the three remaining shalls of the well-known seven, it is declared that such will happen. God's word cannot lie. It must be fulfilled to the letter. Now, let's look at some other scripture written by the Apostle Paul, declaring practically the same thing, but yet in a different manner. Scripture, for I would not, brethren, Christians, members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye should be ignorant of this ministry, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved physically. It's written in the Old Testament, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Israel, or Jacob Israel. Romans 11:25-26 in the King James Version. These two verses of Scripture tell us that in the end of this age, Jesus Christ will return to the earth and he will deal in a specific manner with the nation of Israel. That's why the Bible says there shall come out of Zion the deliverer.
and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, Israel. We see that the second purpose of the threefold purpose of Jesus Christ's second coming will be to deal with Israel in a very specific manner. Christ will spearhead the accomplishment and fulfillment of the yet unfulfilled prophecies relative to Israel's national regathering, her conversion as a nation, and their establishment in peace and power as prophesied in Holy Scripture. Therefore, let's be kind toward the Israelites of our day, remembering that they are acting in a spirit of unbelief. A spiritual curse was put upon them at the time of Christ's first coming. Scripture, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, the eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear unto this day. Romans 11:8, KJV. The spirit of slumber and spiritual insensibility visited upon Israel will continue until the time of the Gentiles is completed. That time God, through his Son, will again turn to Israel and she will experience the manifold blessings of God. Thus we see the second reason of the threefold purpose of Christ's second coming to establish Israel in all of her fullness of blessing under the Davidic covenant. Third purpose of the threefold purpose of Christ's second coming will be to the Gentile nations. In other words, it's predicted in Scripture that the destruction of the present political world system will take place at the second advent, Christ, when he returns to the earth in bodily form at the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation period. Very aptly brought to our attention in Daniel 2, where we read that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, but he forgot what he dreamed. Daniel was brought into the royal palace and proceeded not only to tell the king what he had dreamed, but he gave the king an interpretation of his dream. Daniel reminded King Nebuchadnezzar that the Babylonian Empire was the head of gold of the great image of his dream. At that time, approximately 600 B.C., Babylon ruled as a world power. The image continued on down to the toes as it included the Medes and Persians and the Grecian Empire, finally concluding with the fourth world empire, which was Rome. As we know, the Roman Empire was split in two in 476 A.D., with Constantinople being one capital and Rome the other. This allowed for the five toes or five nations on each foot, making a total of 10. In this great image, which Daniel recounted for King Nebuchadnezzar, we see the cycle of Gentile world rulership upon this earth is finally to be concluded, as Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar. Scripture, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2 and verse 44, KJV. In other words, in the end of this age, the stone which was cut out without hands, so smite the image upon his feet. This means at the end of the age of grace, when Gentile world rulership has run its course, has finally dwindled down to a 10-nation rulership in Europe, the stone, which is none other than Jesus Christ, will come and set up his kingdom. Scripture, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:45. We see this being accomplished in the New Testament, where the satanic Antichrist will gather the kingdoms of this earth, city of Jerusalem, to oppose Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth to bring destruction to this present political world system. Scripture, and I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their enemies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus Christ, sat on the horse and against his army. Revelation 19:19. So Jesus Christ will be opposed by the satanic armies of Armageddon surrounding the city of Jerusalem at his second advent. That particular time, Jesus Christ will ride down from heaven on what will appear to the earth's inhabitants as a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven riding behind, also on white horses, and Jesus Christ will take the satanic Antichrist to the false prophet and cast them alive into the lake of fire. Good place for him. Scripture, and the beast Antichrist was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. Same time, Christ is going to take Satan, the instigator of all the earth's evils, has been bound in the bottomless pit, bowels of the earth for 1,000 years, and saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dumb dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation 20:1-2. The particular time the earth is to have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity.
Satan will not be running to and fro from the earth as a roaring lion. He'll be bound in the bottomless pit. Good phrase for him. All forms of Gentile rulership will have been destroyed with the armies of Armageddon. Then the individual nations which place their power in their armies and navies will be no longer have such authority. All the authority of this earth will be vested in Jesus Christ. He'll be the absolute ruler of the earth at that time. Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be king over all the earth in that day. During the 1,000-year reign shall be one Lord and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. So, the third purpose of the threefold purpose of the second coming of Christ is to bring a final destruction to the present political world system. This political world system, which has proven itself to be a complete failure as far as man ruling over man is concerned for almost 6,000 years, will be supplemented by the authority of the Son of God when he establishes millennial reign on the earth at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. I want us to take a bird's-eye view of what we've been talking about and give to you in a minute, simple capsule form so you'll remember what you've read. We've established from Scripture that Jesus Christ will return to the earth someday. I know that there are many modernistic ministers who scoff and ridicule any preacher who dares publicly to declare the second coming of Christ. In some theological quarters, it's considered old-fashioned and ignorant to believe that Christ will come back in human form to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. But in several verses in Scripture, we saw that he will come again. Number one, we discussed the first purpose of the threefold purpose, Christ's second coming, and it was to translate the church, the body or bride of Christ. We saw that when Jesus Christ comes at the time of the translation, he will give a great shout, and those Christians who were born of the Spirit of God before they died will be awakened. Their souls and spirits will come back from paradise, inhabit their bodies whenever they laid them down, and they will stand again upon the earth. At that particular time, those of us as the church or bride of Christ while still living will be changed together with those who have died, and all of us will be caught up in the clouds of glory to meet Jesus Christ far above the old earth in outer space. At that time, the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be removed from this wicked world to go to be with him forever. The Bible is so strong on this particular teaching. It says this to comfort any child of God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Number two. We also saw the second purpose of the threefold purpose of Christ's second coming is to deal specifically with the nation of Israel. We saw that Israel as a nation turned her back upon Jesus Christ at his first coming. He was unjustifiably and cruelly put to death at the instigation of the howling mob of people who kept crying, "Crucify him, crucify him," because they turned their backs upon him. God visited upon the Israelites a state of spiritual instability, the Apostle Paul says, has lasted down to this present day. Scripture, according to its written, God hath given them, Israel, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Romans 11 and verse 8. That spirit of slumber will be removed, and the Bible says that God will deal with the Israelites in a very definite manner. The blessings originally granted unto them will be extended afresh, and there will be a turning from stony hearts to warm, conscious, friendly hearts toward the Savior. In fact, the Bible says that when we can see Jesus Christ in person, they see the prints of the hands of his nails in his hands, they will realize they did crucify the Savior, and they will weep as well as a woman who had just buried her only son. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they will look upon me when they have perished, and they will mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah 12:10. There's a new order of events prophesied in Scripture which must be fulfilled at the time Jesus Christ returns to the earth to deal with Israel as a nation. We've seen in this lesson that Christ will deal with the Gentile nations at which time to bring about the destruction of the present political world system. When Christ returns to the earth, individual nations will no longer cause war clouds to hang over the earth's inhabitants. Jesus Christ will put down every opportunity of war or political intrigue among the nations. Now, Scripture. And he, Christ, shall rule among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4. The great war factories of the earth will be closed down during the thousand new reign of Christ. There will be no preparations for war anywhere on the earth. The great manufacturing concerns will all be dissolved, and everybody will go back to the farm and live in the manner that God originated, intended mankind to live in when he placed Mr. and Mrs. Adam in the garden. It will require 1,000 years of time with Satan bound in the bottomless pit to bring about a new era of peace and prosperity on the earth for everybody. It will be accomplishing through the binding of Satan in the bottomless pit and the destroying of this present world system. It will come about as prophesied in Scripture. And here's the Scripture. Then cometh the end of the thousand-year reign, when he, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he, Christ, shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24-25. Thus you have the threefold purpose of the Lord's return. First, to translate the church. Second, to deal with the nation of Israel. And third, to bring about the destruction of this present political world system. And the next lesson will be the four horses of Revelation.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the threefold purpose of Christ's second coming. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear a few messages here, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God blessed us, it's because we refuse to heed the
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah. We're back, and I want to remind those called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? In the life of David, what would you say was his low point? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, as always, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Jim, and me now.
Ooh, so Emily decided to bail out on us, did she? Ooh. Well, wonder if she got most of the information tonight, or did she run off with her braille writer and hide somewhere? So,
maybe she had to rest, hon. You don't know.
What it was, that braille got to her, and she bailed out on us. That's what that was. So, all right, Ruthie, your turn. In the life of David, what would you say was his low point?
When he got into sin.
Well, there was a couple times he got into sin, Ruth, so you ought to be more specific.
Well, when I suppose the most famous one they always talk about is when he messed with Bathsheba. But that's, I think we haven't covered that yet, right?
Not yet. We're still coming up on that.
Yeah, so he's done, you know, his share of things that he shouldn't have, but we all have done that.
Well, most people would have to agree with you on that point, because that was one of his lowest points. Also, another point that he had low was when another low point for him, which was just as bad, is when he started to number the children of Israel, and he wasn't supposed to do that. And then God plagued the land, and that's when he had to buy that lot of land to offer up the sacrifice. And that's where that famous scripture comes from: I will not offer to the Lord that which didn't cost me. So that was because of that. So that was another low point for David, because of his sin offering, counting the people. So you could say one or the other. It's a toss-up. Because the one with Bathsheba, it was he himself, even though, yeah, other people knew about it, but basically the adultery was between himself and Uriah, who got killed. So it was basically in a very closed down area where the sin reached, while the sin with the counting of the people was more widespread, and the plague reached out to more people. So I'd have to say it's a toss-up between the two, and I'd have to go with either one.
He also lied, didn't he, honey?
Yeah, well, with the, like, Tonight Show we talked about, you know, a little bit there. When you think about it, he did lie to that Philistine king. So, I mean, there was times he did lie. So, I mean, so David wasn't so perfect. He may have been the man after God's own heart, but he was not perfect. So we have to understand that. That's the reason we're studying this. David was not perfect. David had problems. Amen. All right, Ruthie, if you want to give us a closing prayer, then we'll close out the show with our little segment and our song.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name tonight. We thank you for the show and hope somebody got blessed by it and people got healed or whatever they needed. And be with Emily. She may not feel well tonight. Maybe Jim either. I don't know. But you take care of them, too. I believe you will, Lord. And we just want to thank you for everything. And we want to serve you always. Love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome back.
welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater. From the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything
on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family. They would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use, all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
There's a time to laugh and a time to cry, time to forgive and a time to forget. Dreams we dream sometimes never die. We carry them on until they become someone else's dreams. A friend of mine had such a dream. I met her at a truck stop just outside of Phoenix. We both worked there. Her dream came true, I know. The key to her dream was a little sign that read, "Giddy up, go." She was a lovely girl, pretty smile, but behind all this I could see a troubled mind. She told me when she met the guy that won her heart and made her life a joy. And before too long, more happiness came, a little baby boy. Things wasn't too bad, job wasn't much, but somehow they got by.
And then came the day so long and big trust. And the little boy became so overjoyed, just like when he saw his first fall of snow. He kept hollering, giddy up go, Daddy, giddy up go. Then a dark cloud moved in. 2 years later, without warning, after a few visits with her doctor, he said it was just a matter of time. She knew she'd have to move to a drier climate, and this troubled her mother. Without leaving a trace, she took her son and left town one night. She settled here, and we became the closest of friends. We talked from time to time, and she'd smile, and her eyes would glow when she'd tell me about giddy up go. Each time a truck would pull in, I could see her stand and stare. Wasn't long before she had to give up being a waitress here, and she moved on out of town, not too far. We visited almost every week. The boy now's almost grown. He's the image of his dad, she'd say. The most handsomest man I've ever known. But once more moved in. And as I stood close by, once again she told her story. I could see a tear in her eye. I know my son longs for the road. And the last request she had, let him become a truck driver. Like son, like dad. The boy soon left town. I never knew for where. But I find myself watching every truck that pulled in around the curve. Giddy up go was the only link that held between the two. And I was hoping that I could be of help. She became a dream to me, too. Just now I froze in my tracks as I watched two trucks pull in. A big new shiny diesel and an old one following. I couldn't help staring as they walked in, ordered coffee, and talked a while. Then I saw them leave, both wearing such a smile. They walked out to the old truck, brushed off some dirt so the nameplate would show. And before my eyes, a little sign that read, Giddy up, go.